You're listening to The Week in Review. My name's Anissa.
And I'm Katie. And each week we cover the biggest campus and community stories.
So this week, one of our main stories was about coronavirus and how it could impact Oberlin admissions. Katie, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So coronavirus is actually just sort of the umbrella term for a type of virus. And the specific strain that, you know, we've been hearing about in the news is COVID-19 or COVID-19. And we went to administrators and especially the Office of Admissions to see how this virus could potentially be affecting Oberlin. And we did this after President Carmen Twilley-Ambar was reported by the Student Senate to have said in last Wednesday's general faculty meeting that coronavirus could have a $10 million impact on Oberlin. And although she didn't confirm that figure, she did say that Oberlin could potentially face financial loss from coronavirus from foregoing tuition, room and board, and just decreased spending in Oberlin and in the town in general.
Something that I thought was interesting about this story, which Carson Lee wrote for us, was that 20% of Oberlin's international students are from China.
Actually, 20% of the applications, of all international applications, were from China. But, you know, we do have a large international student body percentage at Oberlin. But yeah, talking to Manuel Carballo, he's a dean and the director of admissions. He was saying that most of their admissions decisions will not change because of the virus. Their decisions have been made by now, and the decisions will be mailed mostly by March 1st. So that was interesting to hear that, you know, it won't necessarily affect this year's class unless, you know, people can't attend school because of coronavirus or can't leave their country or whatnot. We also talked to Manuel about their recruiting for next cycle and how that's actually being affected. So Oberlin, whether it's the admissions office or other Oberlin representatives, were supposed to go on a March recruiting trip to China, and that was canceled because of the virus. So a lot of their recruiting efforts to try to get international students will have to change because of the virus. But they also said that, you know, like, although it's important to get in front of these students and, like, spread the word about Oberlin, it's not necessarily, like, their key recruiting tactic.
Another thing that I thought was interesting was support for students who are going to end up coming to Oberlin or students who already are here. I know there was the executive order signed by President Donald Trump on January 31st that banned all foreigners who had been to China within the last 2 weeks. So it's possible that students might have to go to another country that will allow them to stay for 2 weeks before they come to Oberlin for the first time. Also, it affects students who maybe are graduating and their family members are in China, whether or not those family members can come for their graduation. I think that there was some conversation about having orientation online for next year. So just creates this whole host of new things to think about for certain international students.
Right. And I think writing the story in general was important, but we did learn that maybe we're a little bit too early, actually, to the actual reporting. We don't know that much is what might happen with the virus. You know, like, there have been no cases, as far as I know, in Ohio, definitely no cases in Oberlin. It's something more to monitor rather than react to. So Ginkgo Gallery, which is an art gallery that downtown that sells original art and art supplies and is perhaps best known for the kittens that it has in the back that students and community members can come and play with, got robbed last Friday, February 21st. And the Oberlin Police Department responded. And as far as we know, there has been no conclusion in who actually robbed the store and why. All we know is that the cash register tray was taken, so money was taken. But we don't know if, like, actual merchandise was taken. And kind of in celebration of, you know, the resilience of the gallery, merchandise in the gallery is 10% off through March 8th. So the next story that we're going to talk about today is the formation of the Rapid Response Team.
So this was a story written by one of our production editors, Alexa Stevens. She looked into this team that was assembled by the Division of Student Life with a called the Rapid Response Team that was meant to engage with student activism on campus in a constructive way. So basically what we heard was over winter term, over January, some of the deans in the Division of Student Life decided that they needed a way to sort of interact more directly with future student protests. So this was especially timely because obviously last week we had President Ambar announce that the college is formally considering outsourcing 108 dining and custodial jobs that are all unionized. And that incited like a campus-wide conversation and multiple student-led protests that continued into this week because the Division of Student Life had already put this together. They were able to have a couple of student deans there.
They were wearing vests and they were at last Wednesday's protest. That was really when we saw this team for the first time. But I wanted to read a quote from Dean of Students, or Vice President and Dean of Students, Meredith Raimondo, just explaining some of the rationale of why this team was formed. And we did put this in the story, so it's available on OberlinReview.org. So Meredith said, "It was put together in response to some of the challenges around student protest and demonstration in the past. I'm thinking about the events at Gibson's from 2016. I'm also thinking about some of the protests that occurred around the ABUSWA demands. We wanted to get something up and running this semester. I think with the knowledge that spring is a time when typically there's something that's going on." So Gibson's is from 2016. We've done extensive reporting on it in the newspaper, but the ABUSWA demands were actually prior to my time here. I believe they were in spring of 2016 or perhaps in 2015 or even earlier. So again, we reported on that, but I think it goes to show that there's this constant tension that's existing, the administration and student protesters. As we've seen, they are typically supportive of those protests, maybe not when they're against the administration in general, but there's some level of recognition of students' rights to assemble and to organize. But here we're seeing some sort of mechanism put in place that's potentially bridging the gap, I guess, between the administration, as in this is like upper tower that you don't necessarily interact with on a daily basis with student protesters.
Mm-hmm. I also think the conversation with Meredith Raimondo was interesting because I heard some like student conversation about the campus sort of putting this team together in preparation for the announcement because they knew that the student protests were going to happen. There was like various rumors about safety and security and stuff like that. And, you know, talking to Meredith Raimondo, it turns out that this was kind of a plan, at least according to the Division of Student Life, that was already in place and had nothing to do with the announcement. So sort of like the relationship between just the order of things.
But I think keeping in mind that this decision to potentially switch to contractors, more outsourcing, wasn't an overnight decision. I think that goes to show that, you know, both the decision to form this team and this potential outsourcing decision was a long-term plan or planned a while ago. And there might have been some overlap in, or I guess a lag in the time that they make that decision and then when they decide to announce it to the campus community.
Work is our family.
260 students marched toward the negotiations between the administration and the Oberlin UAW representatives on Friday at 8:15 a.m. These students were led by UAW organizers, family. Students, and
work
members.
UAW.
Going nowhere.
We still don't know what the results of those negotiations are, but we are expecting to hear about them and report on it next week.
Mm-hmm. This is a continuation of a situation that happened last week where President Ambar announced that they're formally considering outsourcing over 100 union jobs. This story will continue over the next couple months. And tune into the weekly next week to hear a longer form piece about it.